Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Oh, you know you're part of something special when you're listening to Beer Army Engaged. Another episode unfolding right before your ears. Mick Dagger here.
And the General.
And we're happy to bring you another installment of this wonderful program.
Awesome. Awesomeness.
I just love what we're doing, man. I'm having a great time. We're sharing great beers, and we're sharing great, great stories in the form of Heroes Never Die, which is part of every podcast. And then as well, the great insanity that is the world in which we live.
It seems like from the last week with you shaving and stuff, it looks like it's growing in nice and...
A little bit.
A little furriness there going on.
I wish I could do some gene doping.
I think I'm going to win this year, though. I'm winning this mustache contest.
I never win. but I do have a glorious porno stash by the end of the month.
Well, you did that first year. You came in with, again, you kind of cheated, though. You had that that huge mo that you walked in with on your face.
Giant. I think,
that was pretty
to have
impressive.
A mustache that's near 4 feet wide is something powerful.
Well, Rolly Fingers pitching for the Milwaukee Brewers back in the day would be jealous of that stash, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget, we'll make sure that there is information for you when it comes to Movember and the Movember Foundation, a great way to raise awareness and funds for men's health issues, not just prostate cancer, testicular cancer. And now Movember is also making an effort for mental health issues.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Because there's a lot of males, a lot of veterans who are, we've talked about it, who are battling PTSD.
We'll be featuring that a little bit in our Heroes Never Die segment, too.
But it's not just for veterans as well.
Mental
health issues just in general, everybody needs to be aware of.
Speaking of mental health, so what have you been up to? How are things?
Well, I'm preparing for my trip to Colorado. So
nice,
yeah,
nice.
So while people are listening to this, I'll be nestled in Colorado.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait. I really
big
can't.
Big CO.
Yeah. Well, as I chatted with you about this, it's I want to get out there. I want to catch up with friends, but I also want to catch up with my favorite breweries in Colorado.
Very nice.
And we have to work out, and we'll talk about this.
Logistics, baby.
Yeah. And while I'm out there, I'm going to be communicating with you, and hopefully we'll be able to have something cool to bring back for the program when I return.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Bring it all back.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited because there's so many breweries out there.
Yeah,
there's,
no.
Like, there's Oscar Blues. There's New Belgium. There's Left Hand Brewing Company. There's Great Divide, there's Boulder Beer,
Breckenridge, all
good
those.
Lord,
unfortunately,
so
though, if you're getting crazy weather like this out here where we're at, I hate to think what kind of crazy weather they're going to have out there.
Not worried about it.
You're going to put like some like 530 weight or something oil in your blood veins or something?
Well, I've never had a problem going back home.
Really?
I was there back in December, and it was like the high wasn't above 10, and I was fine.
Yeah, so your blood never thinned out or something being the warmer weather?
It's once you're a mountain boy, you're always a mountain boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe you're an astronaut.
Yeah. If I grunt real hard, I'll grow my mustache right now.
Space invader. Well. Speaking of space invaders.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that
brings beer.
This brings me into our beer that we're drinking. A little from my trip out west to Washington last month, from Elysian Brewing, Space Dust IPA, 7.2 ABV. From Seattle, Washington, and they classify it as American style. I would say kind of like a West Coast IPA, but it's part of their Manic IPA series, which is from September, December 2014, which we're in right now. But now they've already announced they're going to make it a year-round offering. It's in six packs, not just 22. So it obviously must have, got just an awesome freaking response to it. So
Manic.
And the thing I get a kick out of, I don't know if it's on the bottle there, but they list it as a totally nebular IPA, and hopping is pure Starglow energy.
So. Well, it says here, the hopping is pure Starglow energy, with Chinook to bitter and late and dry additions of Citra and Amarillo.
But it pours, I would say, a cloudy gold There's definitely a whitehead, and there's lace, and there's good carbonation effervescence coming up through there. And you can definitely smell and taste that citrusy and that resiny type piney hops. And there's definitely like some tropical action going on here, which kind of like, which you usually really don't have point. For West Coast. You know, usually on the English or not English, but East Coast IPAs or whatever, is where you pick up this. It's almost like a not grapefruit, but like a like freaking passion fruit. Those damn what is those little is it star fruit or whatever? And
sure, I'll go with it.
Papaya, you know, stuff like that. And then of course you can definitely pick up the caramel on the backbone on the malt and stuff like that. So definitely
the aroma is amazing. Yeah, you're right. It has that pine and you get that citrus.
We're over here sniffing the beer.
Oh, it's delicious. It smells amazing.
It is. It's awesome. And I smuggled two bottles back in my luggage because I was like, oh, Mick has definitely got to try this. And
it's awesome.
I would definitely classify this body and the carbonation as being kind of like medium. And again, it just finishes. It has that bitterness at the end, but it's not overly bitter.
It dissipates really
and,
well.
There's this citrus, this tropical citrus type and this piney hops. And again, I would say it's very resiniony. So.
Not just, overtly though.
Yeah, no, it's
I like it. It's just slight on the back end, but the branding on this is.
I like the metallic on the foil. You know,
yeah, there's a metallic for the space dust on the foil, and you have a very cartoony hop with big eyes breathing that space dust out.
I love that logo so much. I had to buy a t-shirt, and I don't usually buy brewery t-shirts because I usually get enough of them just given to me, you know, and. But I was like, oh, I definitely got to get this shirt because I just love the logo where it's like a little space, you know, man, but it's a hop head, you know, and you know, blowing a little space dust, you know, and his goodness, his little, you know, magic fairy dust.
I would ride him all over the universe. Just ride on a giant hop. Remember like the Neverending Story?
Yeah,
you rode that giant dog. I would like have to ride around on a giant, space dust blowing hop. You're like, yeah.
Oh, that's
who's
awesome,
manic
man.
Now? Oh. I want to know more about their manic IPA series.
So the to talk about the brewery a little bit.
Yeah,
talk about this beer. So Elysian Brewing was founded by Dick Cantwell, Joe Bisacca, and David Bueller, and so the three guys. And Dick was kind of like he had the brewing chops, the brewing background, and Joe had the like a banker background, and then David had a wholesaler background. So between the three of them, they paired up, and they opened in 1996 at their Capitol Hill location, which is a brew pub, which is the location I went to because I wanted to see the original Elysian brewery. They currently have four brew pubs and one production brewery in the around in the Seattle area. One of their newest brew pub is called Elysian Fields, I believe it is, and it's right down there by both the baseball field and the football field right in downtown Seattle. I didn't have time to go to all of them or the production brewery. I really wanted to see, you know, the original. You know, I think when you go visit anything that has maybe multiple locations, it's always about checking out the original, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like when I was there and I had to see the original Starbucks, even though I'm not a big Starbucks fan per se. But
did you get your pumpkin spice latte?
No. We talked about the a couple episodes back. You know, when you said PSLs, I was thinking of another thing, like an Angelina Jolie thing, you know, but for men, you know, that's what I was, instead of DSLs, I was thinking of PSLs. My brain was in the gutter there, but.
A little bit.
So, yeah, so they have the four brew pubs and the one production brewery. Their production brewery was established in November 2011, and it started off, it is a 35,000-square-foot brewery with a 60-barrel brew house. And then currently they have 10 240 beer barrel fermenters, and they started off doing about 60,000 beer barrels in production capacity.
Wow.
And again, November 2011, so look at your little Mickey on your wrist. Do the math here. They're currently at 130,000 beer barrels for production. Okay, we're talking basically 3 years.
My God.
So they went from 60 to 130. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Holy smokes. Of course, drinking this beer, I can see why.
Yeah,
you know, no doubt. I mean, it's awesome. So they're currently distributed in Washington, Alaska, Colorado. So when you're out in Colorado, get some. Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Pennsylvania. And this is where it's weird because they're kind of Pacific Northwest, and then they jump out to Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, and New York. And then they're also offered up in Canada and British Columbia and Alberta. And get this, Taiwan, Australia, and Japan.
Well, yeah, interesting.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
I've got something Japan-related coming up later in the program.
And then every year they host, and we weren't there during it, but the first week in October, instead of like an Oktoberfest, They do this great pumpkin beer festival in October. And I guess it's like this huge event. And they take these huge pumpkins, they carve them out, and then they'll scorch the insides, they fill them up with beer, and then seal them with wax. And then they have, like, instead of like a cask tapping, they have like this pumpkin tapping.
Yeah.
And supposedly it's gotten so freaking big, like they're running out of space. So they try to have it downtown and at one of the stadiums or whatever. And then I guess all this legal red tape and all this other bullshit, they're just like piss on, and they brought it back to the brewery and decided to have it there last minute. But
Know you have a successful brewery when you can actually put on paper you had a 40 pumpkin beer year.
40 pumpkin beer year.
We did 130 beer barrels and 40 pumpkin barrels, man.
It's nuts. It's nuts. But I definitely recommend you check them out, because I had a chance to try a lot of their other beers. And I will be posting pictures from that visit to the Capitol Hill Brewery, which is the original location, on the Beer Army General Facebook profile. So you definitely have to check that out. But again, we really appreciate all your support and pledging your support on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Beer Army. Please check it out. If you like what you're hearing, you can go on there. You can support us and, be a super soldier of the Beer Army Engage show, show your support. And because of that, it allows us to offset the production costs
and help us do great things in the communities where people are engaged with Beer Army, which is, it's a great way. It's a great outreach.
And then, like you always say, we got some tasty treats for you there. You get a little perks. Yeah. Like we just had our Google Hangout, where once a month, if you pledge at the sergeant level, you get to hang out with us in a little TV video cast, I guess.
Well, it's just a great one-on-one with us, and I'm excited for when I come back. I'll probably have some good stuff to share with some super soldiers.
But we also have this like news feed that's for Patreon members only, and we post funny crap on there, like videos and pictures, stuff that makes us laughing. We have this this one. I just want to take this little excerpt real quick and have you take a listen, but just listen to this real quick.
What do you got?
Welcome to this voice-activated elevator, the Intellivator. Please select language.
English.
English registered.
These Japanese people.
Seven is registered. Please hold on.
It was like,
it works.
Of course it worked. It is an Intellivator.
And it's, they got this hidden camera on all these people. Anyways, they do like this 3-minute little skit where different people come in and they're just goofing on people. Like later on, they're like, clap how many floors you want to get to, and you got like these older people clapping like 12 times, to get to, and they're like, seven register, they're like, no. So they're trying to clap some
clap
more
on, clap off, clap on, clap off.
But those
elevator
are just little things that we put in there for you. So
although that's, well, those Japanese inner pranks are crazy.
Yeah,
I watched one where they put people in a store with like North Face gear.
Yeah.
And they're browsing the clothing, and then like the floor drops out, and there's just like a rock wall they have to hold on to, and then a jacket's hanging from a string. What? And then it gives them a countdown, and it tells them if they want the jacket, they have to jump for it. So they don't know that there's like a pillow or a big airbag below them. And like most of the people jumped and tried to get the jacket. Some got it, some didn't, but they landed on that giant air bladder and were like, I got a free North Face jacket. Weird.
But check it out, and we always appreciate it. And of course, our website, beerarmy.org, you can get to all of our social media links from there as well. So
absolutely, and we got more crazy stuff from Japan coming your way later with Yukum Tasu. But up next, and don't go anywhere, a great story to share for our heroes never die. It's all on the way here on Beer Army Engaged.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code BEERARMY. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Beer Army Engaged.
Oh, my favorite part of the episodes. Every week we highlight something awesome done by an average Joe, a regular citizen. And in some cases, and for today, maybe an extenuating circumstance, but regardless, an awesome, awesome story, awesome news to share. Because in this crazy world, you never know what's going to happen, and who's going to step in the gap.
Victory!
That's right, Mick, and we want to give or pay tribute to our hero this week, to not a U.S. citizen, but a Mexican one, and a Mexican one that goes with no name. And what I'm talking about is the Mexican judge, who ordered the immediate release of Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi, who is a Marine veteran.
Yeah,
who's
absolutely.
Been stuck there for like over 200 freaking days for some bullshit.
Yeah, almost 8 months.
And I looked all over the internet to try to get this judge's name, but it is under wraps. And even a Mexican official who had knowledge of the ruling but was not authorized to give his name. So obviously they take this kind of stuff really, really serious.
I wonder
serious,
why the secrecy. Why?
Who knows? You know, with the drug cartels and everything else, I'm sure they probably want to keep stuff under wraps. Not that I think they have to worry about cartels in this situation. But anyways, I got a quick little news nugget here. So just give it a listen.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Leah Gabriel in New York. A Mexican judge ordering the immediate release of jailed U.S. Marine veteran Andrew Tamarisi. It's been around 7 months since the 26-year-old was arrested by Mexican authorities for crossing the border with loaded guns.
So, well, that's a little deceiving. That needs to be clarified.
Yeah, we'll clarify it right here. So basically, first of all, Julie Watson from the Associated Press, she broke the story, and that was a Fox News video that was... I don't know if you want to call it spinning it or slanting it or whatever. I don't like any of the news outlets, to be honest with you. I kind of prefer to get my own news and make up my own mind. And
if journalists were actual journalists, they'd give you just the facts and you could make up your own mind.
So let me paint the picture for you. So Marine Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi, he's a Afghanistan veteran, he's done two tours. He's been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And basically, he recently dropped out of school. He's from Florida. He went out to California to try to get some help, and he wasn't familiar with the area as much, and he was driving south. And if you've ever been down there, especially in the border town areas with Tijuana and stuff like that, there'll be signs that says, like, last exit before border or checkpoint or whatever. Sometimes traffic can be really backed up.
It's
sometimes
easy to get stuck in that traffic.
Sometimes you don't see the signs. Sometimes if you're not familiar with the area, you think, oh, well, I'll be able to turn around like at a guard shack or something like that. Well, in this case, let me paint the picture for you. This guy served two tours, he's dealing with some PTSD issues. So he had legally bought weapons. There's a lot of, weapons owners out there, And this isn't a Second Amendment thing or anything, but he was carrying in his, he had a truck, a rifle, a shotgun, and a pistol. And back in the day when I was a kid, there's many guys that have gun racks, in the trucks and stuff, and have weapons strung out on there. And of course, in the news article, they say he had hundreds of rounds of ammunition. Okay, if you have a couple of boxes of ammo, that could be hundreds of rounds, but it's not like paint this freaking picture where he's got ammo cans, dump,
And, well, there's usually 50 rounds in a box, 25 to 50 rounds.
So if you have four boxes,
you've got hundreds of rounds. Yeah, that's horrible.
Right. So, but the weapons were loaded, and I know, depending on the state, that might break a law, might not break a law, regardless. But in Mexico, the weapons he had, especially I'm assuming the rifles, maybe like I have an AR-15. That is considered an assault rifle.
Let me start on that. That is a government manufactured term to make the weapon seem more dangerous than it actually is,
right?
Because it's still a semi-automatic weapon. It just looks different.
Exactly.
It doesn't do anything different than any other semi-automatic weapon. They just tag it with assault rifle to make it seem more threatening.
No, you're totally right.
That pisses me off when people throw that word around there. I'm like, fuck you. It's a freaking semi-automatic rifle.
But in Mexico, the problem that they have with that is that in Mexico, possessions of weapons restricted for use by the army is a federal crime. And the country has been tightening up its border checks to stop the flow of U.S. weapons that have been used by drug cartels. Because, drug cartels, if they tighten up, restricted, they won't be able to get weapons. It's kind of like the same issue we have here where they want more gun control because, I guess, people who are not legally allowed to have firearms somehow won't get firearms. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the greatest goof of all time.
Well, you want to get in the whole basis of tyranny. You take away all the power of the public to rise up, and you only keep that in the hands of the government, and then you can keep everybody under control.
But to give an accurate account and an accurate accountability, Mick, and it's not just because this guy's a Marine veteran, I'm a Marine, okay? So this isn't because he's a fellow Marine or something. This could have been any Joe Blow U.S. citizen, and this would have pissed me off. He was in there. Do you know how many days he was in freaking jail? I mean, this is a Mexican jail, mind you. Okay, so this ain't country club shit.
He was there for over 7 months.
214 fucking days in a Mexican jail.
Yeah.
214. Okay. And now that he's been released, we got these asshole freaking politicians. I'm talking governors and congressmen. And again, I don't care what side of the freaking political divide you find yourself on. Left, right, Democrat, freaking, you know, Republican. I don't give a shit. But all these little assholes now are trying to come out, you know, and kind of like take their little due and credit and get on the talking box.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and talk about.
If they were going to do anything, they would have done it by now.
But Mick, here, this is what they did. The U.S. Republican Democratic politicians, they held talks with Mexican authorities urging his release, and a U.S. congressional committee also held a public hearing to pressure Mexico to free him. Fuck you. 214 days. Okay, so this guy's dealing with PTSD issues, pretty bad PTSD issues. And again, we're talking about Tijuana, we're talking about Tecate, okay? And you know what he did, Mick? It was so freaking bad.
Yeah.
He tried killing himself by slicing his neck with a shard from a light bulb in his cell because the guards and inmates threatened to rape, torture, and kill him. And he was just like pissed on it. Then this is a veteran. Done two tours in freaking Afghanistan.
Yep.
So he's obviously seen his stuff. So it had to be pretty freaking bad if he's willing to off himself, you know?
Well, the thing that it frustrates me is like, having talks, saying, we urge you to release him. It's like, you know what you do? Any sort of financial relationship and aid the U.S. has with him, you put an embargo on all that crap.
Exactly.
An American citizen that has been unlawfully detained under mitigating circumstances.
Bullshit, and
you're not doing shit.
Bullshit.
You're not doing shit.
So,
to get him back, but yet they will gladly hand over five terrorists for somebody who abandoned their post in the military. They'll gladly hand over that. We don't even know. These guys aren't being monitored anymore. They're back in the fight. But we'll do that for a soldier, but we won't do anything similar, just a country south of our border.
I guarantee you those same cocksuckers we released, they're fighting with ISIS now. You know what I mean? They're with ISIS doing the same shit.
Nobody knows
shit,
where they
know?
Are anymore. They were supposed to be monitored.
Not to get off a tangent here. Let's bring this back to reality, okay?
It shows where our priorities are.
So this Mexican judge, he's the true freaking hero.
That's
okay?
What's sad.
He's
the
true hero for making this happen. And it's not our freaking politicians.
And the
anybody.
Reason why. You did read the reason why.
So get this. So this is what ultimately got him released. Okay? You ready? You waiting for it?
Not
U.S. politicians, mind you, but because a psychiatrist was hired, but not by American or American pressure, but by Mexican prosecutors to examine this Afghanistan veterans, which the defense agreed to. And they agreed that he should get PTSD treatment in the U.S. because they are not equipped to deal with treating PTSD. So then they finally released him after they hired a psychiatrist, the prosecutor.
Yeah.
Let's go get him checked out. Yeah, he's pretty messed up. Let's send him back to the States. Fuck you, all you politicians the U.S. flavor, for not being able to get this guy home sooner than 8 freaking months later.
So essentially, it came down to the Mexican government realizing they didn't have the resources adequate to treat an inmate in their prison system because of the situation in which it generated his PTSD.
And I would argue you probably even got preferential treatment on that basis, because I'm sure, like, if you're Mexican in a Mexican jail, you're probably not even getting that special treatment. But, you know,
but
thank God for the judge. To finally see through all that and say, let's release.
Well, any politician is trying to jump on this and try to claim credit for it is doing nothing more than calling themselves an ass. Because you know what? If they were honestly, they would have been fighting the fight to get him out, and it would have been prominent in front of it.
What would you say? Like, if it was the president's son, if he had a son, and I ain't bashing on Obama, if it was Bush or anybody else, okay, I don't give a shit. Any high ranking politician, what would you say? 72 hours?
Oh, at the most.
I bet you 20, maybe 48, right? I mean, come on, man.
Well, I'll be honest with you, man. You team this up with the aspect involving all this mess with the VA.
Yeah.
This is just a metaphor for the
the complacency.
It's a metaphor for how the treatment our veterans get this day and age after we're going on 15 years of consistent combat.
Right. No, you're
absolutely
right.
We have more than one generation now. We have more than one generation that is coming back traumatized by war. Direct experience.
Yeah.
Well, it's so when you have a system that's the foundation screwed up and whatnot, in this situation with Tamarisi. I mean, it's, I'm glad he's coming home.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I'm happy because, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, obviously he needs, you know, he needs some, and he's not, let's paint another picture here. He's not a mental case. He's not a mental basket.
No,
okay?
He's not, no.
He needs some help or whatever,
just
but
broken.
He's not. Right. He's looking for answers or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and then unfortunately he was on the wrong road, couldn't get off, and he's stuck in a freaking prison for 270, it pisses me off, man. It pisses me off because meanwhile, while he's stuck there, the rest of us in our society, we're bitching about the price of gas, or well, I guess now we're bitching about how we're worried about deflation. I remember reading that now. The gas price is getting so low. They're saying, oh my God, that's going to really throw us off. It's like, fuck you. You know, all you asshole politicians, everybody else trying to worry us into whatever it is. Go bite a big one.
The big picture and a holistic view of our society and world is lost on a lot of people. They're stuck in their own little world of Facebook and their own little sphere of influence. And that's all they care about. But regardless, we're a community, and here at Beer Army, we care about one another.
We
don't care what your background is. We don't care what you're going through. We do care what you're going through, but what I'm saying is that if you're part of it, if you're listening to this, you're part of it. We embrace you. We accept you for you.
Exactly.
And we want you to engage with us.
Blue collar, white collar, male, female, black, white. You could be freaking polka dotted. I don't give a shit. You could wake up with women's underwear like we've talked about last week or
just
a couple weeks
ago.
Just tell us. No, it's just what really just drives me apeshit, though, is the fact that this happened. And it was so below the radar. And there wasn't like a bunch of media. It's sad, man. Uh-huh. It's just freaking sad that we've become so freaking complacent. And what Justin Bieber wore to the freaking whatever award show has gotten more news play than this guy. It breaks my heart in some ways. It makes me feel ashamed to be an American in some ways.
You should never be ashamed to be an American.
Because the way we would allow our fellow citizens, it's like to be a citizen in this country is a great thing.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a great thing. And I ain't bashing Mexico because, hey, thank God for this Mexican judge who released them. Thank God for the Mexican prosecutors who hired a psychiatrist to get, because if it wouldn't have been for him, who knows? It would maybe be another 271 days or 74 days. So anyways, the nameless, he might be nameless, but he's out there. We thank you, sir.
Yeah.
As one human being to another, not as a Mexican to a U.S. citizen, vice versa, one human being to another. We really appreciate it. You are our hero of the day.
Yeah. Keep your seats. A lot of power there. A lot of passion, and rightfully so. That's what we're here for. We're here to share this stuff.
I'm going to drink the rest of this beer to cool down these flames.
You should. But we'll be back, because we got a lot of insanity and some crazy stories for Yikem to Sue coming up, because you can't make this stuff up. Don't go anywhere.
Beer Army engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Hey, Dustin, why do you get a beer t-shirt, not me?
Just go over to wearyourbeer.com. Get 20% off your order by using the promo code BEERARMY.
It's that easy?
It's that easy. Wearyourbeer.com.
Promo code BEERARMY?
Yep, and you get 20% off your order.
I'm going to wear my beer.
Go for it today.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it.
Are you a superhero that's afraid to come out of the closet?
Don't worry. SuperheroDen.com has you covered.
Just put in promo code BEERARMY to get 20% off your order today.
That way you can be a superhero. So get yourself a t-shirt. That's promo code BEERARMY.
So do it now. That's SuperheroDen.com.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Oh, who's ready to get crazy?
I am.
All right, calm down, buddy.
Sorry.
It's like you just got cotton candy at the fair or something.
I'm still pumped up from that freaking last segment, man.
Yeah.
Bad. Well, I finished this beer. They didn't pull out the flames, though.
We're veterans, man. It means a lot to us. We got to look out for our own. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Well, here we are. We're looking out for the insanity in the world. Man, you can't make so much stuff up. And then the world is screwed up. The last segment proves it. We live in a screwed up world. But regardless, it's time to yick 'em to sue. Dustin, I got a question for you.
Shoot.
Imagine yourself as a Japanese woman.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I'm going to try.
Okay. Do you know what to look for in a guy?
Broad shoulders, aggressive facial features.
You're all wrong.
Big bulge in his crotch area.
You're wrong. Yeah, for Japanese women on a mission to get married, because a lot of them are.
They're on a mission to get married?
A lot of them are. They're trying to find the perfect guy.
Okay.
And it's important for them to know what to look for in a man.
Hey, inquiring minds want
to
know.
And a lot of them don't know what to look for. So there's a quiz from a Japanese TV show that is designed to help them. And I wanted to share this quiz real quick.
Okay.
With simple questions and two possible answers for each. But only one answer is the right answer.
Okay.
So which would you prefer to hear from a man you love? The answers are, I want you to be with me forever, or I will be with you forever.
I'll be with you forever.
Well, you're right, because if you chose A, you apparently don't know what to look for in a man. Okay? So that's it. That's one question. Then there's one, do you prefer tall men? Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, you don't know what to look for in a man.
Are you kidding me?
No. According to a follow-up survey there in Japan.
All chicks want tall dudes.
No. Tall men had a higher rate of divorce.
What?
Yeah.
I guess I'm screwed then.
Which negates the first question.
Yeah.
All right. Third question here.
500
Do you prefer men who always reply to your messages or men who don't?
Always reply to my messages.
No, you don't know what to look for in a man.
I'm batting 300, 333 now.
Well, it might not be a bad thing that you don't know what to look for in a man. But according in Japan, apparently, if men who always reply to your messages have a strong tendency to demand the same of their girl.
Oh, okay, I'm with you.
So if you want a man to always respond to your messages, you better respond to every one of his.
Okay.
All right, what attracts you more, dog lovers or cat lovers?
Dog, definitely, all day long.
All right, well, you're good. You know what to
look for. All right, so I'm back up to like 400.
This is the one I ultimately wanted to get to, the question ultimately wanted to get to, because if you chose cat lovers, you don't know what to look for in a man. Male cat lovers tend to be more effeminate and self-centered and can be more affectionate towards their cats more than their wives.
But not the dogs?
In Japan, that's a little frightening. So when a Japanese male gets a little pussy at night, he's
he might be eating.
He might be a cat lover.
Well, he might be eating it.
He might be eating it.
Yeah.
Might be a cat lover.
No, I mean eating the cat, like literally, not pussy.
Literally, not figuratively. Yeah. All right. Well, there's more, and of course, this is up on beerarmy.org for you to check out. But apparently, it's just as simple as that.
Awesome.
Oh, one last question.
Yeah.
Men who give gentle kisses or passionate kisses?
Passionate.
You don't know what to look for in a man.
Shit, man. I was about ready to hit 500.
Not in Japan.
Oh, man.
Oh, well. This is so stupid.
I guess I don't have to worry about being gay in Japan then.
I did. Wow. Japanese women.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm sorry, man. You can't go wrong with an Oriental girl, man.
No, you cannot. You cannot. Well, in Rancho Cordova, and this, for all those people that are not familiar with it, this would be in California.
Yeah.
KTXL, Channel 40, the Fox News affiliate, and this is out of Marin County. The headline reads, "Deputies, private school principal found at Sacramento motel with drugs and younger woman."
Oh.
I got a little excerpt for here for you.
Let's hear it.
Give it a listen.
Ray, and there's new information tonight about the Bay Area principal who cops say they busted in Rancho Cordova with a prostitute and a room full of drugs. A tip brought police to the Hyatt Place off Zinfandel Drive Friday. Principal Thomas Price is a free man tonight, but the fallout from his arrest is far from over. Tia Ewing live with what we're learning tonight.
Yeah, so...
What's his principal's name? Clarence Thomas?
Clarence Thomas, no. The principal's name was... What the hell is this guy's name? I don't know.
Idiot?
Something. But basically, he had a... So according to the sheriff's deputies, the boyfriend of a 21-year-old Brittany Hall called police out of concern that she was at a motel with an older man giving her drugs. So it was the boyfriend that busted her. Now,
Wait a minute. This principal was in a hotel room.
Yes.
With a prostitute and drugs.
Yes.
Who called?
Exactly. You see where I'm going with this, right? So the headline is prostitute, but then we have the deputies are saying the boyfriend of a 21-year-old, and to give her a name, Brittany Hall, called police out of concern that she was at a motel with an older man. So I'm gonna put two and two here together.
You can hook. You just can't hook.
Guess who the prostitute is? And so the boyfriend is either the pimp or, I don't know, the boyfriend, but...
And, wait a minute. Okay.
But the principal, okay, they say drugs. You have to do a little digging, okay? So investigating minds want to know. Because you know me, Mick, right? Yeah, I just can't leave shit alone.
You're thorough.
You want to take a guess like it was just some pot? Think it was some pot?
Oh, no. It had to have been coke or something.
It was coke. It also was heroin. It also was meth. I mean, this guy was like off the freaking rails, man.
I got a pipe for each one.
Oh, he was out of control. So the nice thing is that the staff list on the Branson School website no longer displays this guy's name as the principal. So thank God that
Wait a minute. Based off you said the website no longer displays his name as principal.
That's correct.
Was he fired or is he on administrative leave?
It doesn't say, but it sounds like they've already taken things into their own hands. So, you know.
So if you want an education, kids, this is the prime opportunity to learn. Don't pick up prostitutes and don't do drugs. Because if you pick up prostitutes and do drugs, the prostitute's boyfriend might call on intel on you.
The crazy thing is that I don't know if she's a prostitute or what, but Hall, Miss Hall, we'll call her, she's still in jail on charges. And I don't know what those charges are, but the website
solicitation charges, obviously.
So, yeah, so, yeah.
I love how that unfolded.
I'm concerned. My hooker girlfriend's in a hotel room with an older man.
It's like a guy.
What am I to do?
It's like a guy that dates a stripper and gets pissed off because she gets tipped a dollar. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You can dance, but you can only dance for me.
That's right.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Well, the insanity never ends. Because I've got an interesting story out of the state of Florida.
Oh, I love Florida. Florida's good. Florida's got some good nuggets.
It does. There's always insanity out of Florida, but what do you expect from a state shaped like a dick?
like a dick. Jeez.
No, this happened at Port Orange, Florida.
And we weren't trying to offend any Floridians down there.
You can live in Florida. It doesn't change doesn't change the fact that you're living in a state shaped like a dick.
So Tallahassee's like
a baller.
Where do
you live? I live on the shaft. No, I live near the balls. I live near the tip where it all spits. It's fucking humid down there in the Keys.
So what you say? So what you're saying is the Keys is actually the ejaculate?
Essentially, is just dribbling off because it goes off that.
Oh my gosh!
No, in Port Orange, police arrested a woman after she allegedly told her young children to drink toilet bowl cleaner.
Oh, jeez!
Look, I grew up in a house where if I cussed. Or if I said anything disrespectful, I got my mouth washed out with soap. But yeah. It was a bar of Ivory soap.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the first time that happened to me.
Happened to me?
I learned the F word. I learned the word fuck.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was a general response to a question or statement. So if somebody said something, you just respond like, fuck! So I walk in the house. And the crazy thing is I learned the word from the son of... a neighbor of ours who was a Vietnam vet who had horrible PTSD. He had a koi pond for stress relief, but he'd go out there when he had flashbacks and just try to have the koi pond relax him, but he would just be vocalizing all this stuff he was going through. So it was just like our neighborhood just rang with like obscenities and cuss words. But everybody respected him. They knew what he'd gone through. Nobody had a problem with him. He was a nice guy. And his kid was a great kid. And I was out playing with his kid and... Of course, his kid picked up on the cuss words. So I learned the F word. And my mom, I walk home and I walk in, open the door, and my mom hears me come in and she's like, my name's Mick is short for Michael.
Yeah.
So my mom's like, Michael, you got to clean your room. And she yells down from upstairs. Right. And I'm walking in the front door and I'm like, oh, fuck you, mom. Right? Just thinking I'm just letting her know I heard her.
Oh,
she flies down the stairs, grabs me by the arm, yanks me in the bathroom, and I get a bar of Ivory soap in my mouth.
Nice. You will never use that word in this house ever again.
Nice.
Notice, my mom only went for Ivory soap. My mom didn't go for a toilet bowl cleaner.
Yeah. Well, that's good. At least your mom was smart in that aspect. And the thing is, a chick like this, she's probably wondering, like, what did I do wrong, right? I mean, if you had a chance to talk to her, I'm sure that's what it was. You know?
And there's nothing in here that states exactly as to why she made this decision, but the fact that she told her young children to drink toilet bowl cleaner.
Yeah, some people just trip me out. I mean, they really do.
You just can't believe that.
You can't make it up, man. How about in Copenhagen, Denmark, the Associated Press has reported that a biker, as a motorcycle gang, they had to cancel the party after the police recovered the bar, which was stolen from their clubhouse, I guess.
How do you steal a bar?
I don't know, but
Danish
police say members of a biker gang have called off a planned party after officers raided a new clubhouse in western Denmark and took away the bar that had been stolen from a nearby workshop.
Well, it's mobile. It's portable.
The police also seized a minor amount of drugs and a gold chain. One gold chain. So AP, you got to love the AP, right? Because they want to get a fair and balanced news. They want to get both sides of it. They contacted the gang, but the gang members declined to comment, and it was unclear whether the party would be rescheduled. And the thing is, I don't know about you, but when I read
some... We can't have a party.
When I read some of these news articles, what I like to do is like read sometimes the comments below it, and you got to love people and their comments. And so like one day ago, the guy named Indiscriminate, he wants to know, was this the Blue Oyster? You know, Mr. Obvious wrote, just some boys trying to have fun, you know. You know.
I love the tie back to Police Academy.
Yeah, it's like...
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Linda, Animal House. They took the whole fucking bar. You know, it's like, I just love it, you know. I just love people's comments and their sense of humor on the news feed sometimes.
In Florida, you got a woman feeding her kids toilet bowl cleaner. In Denmark, you got people stealing bars.
Mock Arena. Rescheduled? The police should have confiscated their calendar, too.
Mock Arena, really?
Oh, man. So
the 90s dance craze? Oh. That's your freaking screen name?
So, if you're a biker and you steal a bar and you're in Copenhagen, Denmark...
You better make sure you check other people's calendars before you steal a bar.
That's right. So.
Wow. Well, what do you say, man?
I think that wraps us up already.
Yeah.
It's amazing when we're having fun.
Oh, just powerful episode today.
Yeah, I think we got a little crazy on segment two for our listeners. I don't think we've ever gone high into the tight like that, but that's okay.
Wow. It's all right. Sometimes it's necessary.
I'm going to go have a chalupa after this just to celebrate. So.
get money to make you something. I don't know.
Because I appreciate the Mexican judge making the right call. So.
Well, I do too. I do too, man. That's wow. That is crazy. Hell yeah.
But hopefully you're safe in Colorado this week. So.
Well, I'm excited to go out there. It'll be fine. It'll be good. Hell yeah. And I'll be back. From Colorado. We'll have another episode coming next week, so make sure you just stay tuned and catch up on past episodes at beerarmy.org. And we'll see you then.
Rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.